I would love for you to take your Bibles and open up to Psalm 119. I hope that's not a surprise. We are on part three of a 24-part series through Psalm 119, and at the rate of about one or two messages a year, for me personally on a Sunday night, we'll get there by 2039. All right. Psalm 119, it is David's magnum opus. He spans 176 verses of carefully structured Hebrew poetry. And he uses a very particular type of Hebrew structure. This is an acrostic poem. An acrostic poem means that he is using the length and breadth of the Hebrew language to compose this poem. There are 22 stanzas. Each of those stanzas, 8 verses long. Each of those verses, starting with the successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, starting with Aleph, the first letter, the first 8 verses, starting with Aleph, and then the second, all the way through Tav, the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so here's the effect, here's the message, here's the metaphor that David is trying to get across with this poem. That his subject, his topic, is of such importance that it deserves to be considered from Aleph to Tav, or we would say from A to Z. But not just A to Z times 8. I want you to imagine writing an acrostic poem in English. You would eventually get to letters like X. How much poetry could you write about xylophones and x-ray machines? It'd be tough. And what's interesting is the project that David gave himself, or that the Holy Spirit really gave him, of writing this poem actually at times has an effect on the shape that the poem takes. If you remember the last time that we were together in Psalm 119, we considered the Tate section of Psalm 119. The letter Tate is one of those letters like Q and X. There just isn't a lot of vocabulary to work with. And so David, in the letter Tate, focuses on one Hebrew word that starts with the letter Tate, and that is the word Tov. That is the Hebrew word that is translated as good for us. And so if you look at the Tate section of Psalm 119, in 5 out of the 8 verses, David uses the word Tov. He says, "The Lord is good and does good." So in the Tate section of Psalm 119, David just doesn't have a lot of choices available to him. But tonight I want us to consider another section of Psalm 119. It is the Hey section of Psalm 119. This starts in verse 33 of Psalm 119. So if we were looking in our Hebrew Bibles and we were looking at verses 33 through 40 of Psalm 119, we would find that each 8 of these verses starts with the Hebrew letter He. And the Hebrew letter He has an interesting effect. If we look on our next slide here, you can see the letter He. It's starting that word that's up there. And for us, we're looking backwards because Hebrew works the other direction. Okay, Hebrew goes from right to left rather than left to right. And so the letter that you see there in red is the letter He. And the letter He has an interesting effect in Hebrew, especially when it is affixed to the beginning of a verb. You can take a Hebrew verb, not all of them, but many of them. You can take many Hebrew verbs, and by adding the letter He to the front of that Hebrew verb, you can change what that verb is doing in a sentence. Now, I know you didn't come tonight geared up for Hebrew grammar. All right, so give me your best, okay? I'll try not to put you to sleep tonight with a little lesson in Hebrew grammar. But if you'll get on this train with me, this Hebrew grammar train, I think you'll find it's worth the destination. Let me work you through this just a little bit. Look with me in Psalm 119 and verse 33. Let's read it together. Psalm 119 and verse 33 says this: "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end." Let's think about that word, that verb that's translated for us in verse 33 with the word teach. Here's the journey that the verb teach takes. It starts off with just the Hebrew verb that means to learn. But then the letter he gets added on to that Greek, or excuse me, to that Hebrew verb, and it changes it from learn to this, cause to learn. That's what the letter he does when it gets added onto the front of a verb. So this verb goes from to learn to cause to learn. In fact, just read the next verse with me if you would. Verse 34 says this, give me understanding. That starts off as the Hebrew verb to understand. And then the letter he gets put onto the front of it, and it means to cause to understand. Or in verse 35, cause me to walk. So this is what the letter he does. We call this the hifil theme, and it changes verbs into causatives. All right? Yeah, put that on a cross-stitch pillow, okay? The hifil theme and causative verbs. This is exciting stuff, right? But when we think about what's going on here, we're going to get excited about this, because who is David talking to when he says, cause to learn? The Hebrew verb does more than just tell us the action. It also has the subject and the object. And so who is David talking to? He's talking to God. So when he's saying cause to learn, he's talking to God and he's saying you cause to learn. But the object of the verb is also in there. You cause me to learn. What is David doing in this section of Psalm 119? David is affixing the letter he onto the front of a series of verbs to change those verbs into prayers to God. He's asking God to do something, to cause something to happen in his life. And I want us to pause and think for just a moment. What do you ask God to cause in your life? You see, unlike the Tate section of Psalm 119, where David doesn't have a lot of vocabulary that's available to him, in the Hay section of Psalm 119, David has a whole host of verbs available to him that he can add the letter Hay onto the front of. He, for instance, could pray here, Lord, cause me to be wealthy. But if you scan through these eight verses, you won't see him praying that. David here could be praying, Lord, cause me to be victorious against my enemies. But if you read through these eight verses, that's not what David is praying for. Here's the point. There is a whole universe of verbs that David could be asking God to do in his life. But as we scan through these eight verses, what we're seeing is David's priority in his prayer life. When he could pray for anything, what does he pray for? Would you look through this with me? What were David's Holy Spirit-inspired priorities of prayer? Listen to what he says in the first verse. He says, Lord, cause me to learn the way of your statutes. Verse 35, Lord, cause me to understand, and I shall keep your law. Verse 35, Lord, cause me to walk in the path of your commandments. Verse 36, incline my heart to your testimonies. Literally in Hebrew, Lord, cause my heart to be given to your testimonies. I like that one in verse 36. The word incline there in our English Bibles is actually the Hebrew word Nathan. It means to give. It means to give. But listen to what he says here. He doesn't say, God, give me stuff. God, give me victory. God, give me fame. God, give me health. Those aren't the things that he prays for. What does he pray? He says, literally this in Hebrew, he says, Lord, cause my heart to be given to your testimonies. I want you to think about that for a moment. David is pleading with God, God, would you cause my heart to be given to your word? David is admitting here that it's not our natural disposition to be given to the things of God. Am I the only one that doesn't find that as my natural disposition? Have you ever tried to give something to God and you just couldn't? You wanted to turn it over to Him. Your heart, you knew you needed to give it to Him, but you tried and you just couldn't. I love what David prays here. He doesn't say, Lord, I give you my heart. He says, Lord, cause my heart to be given to you. I'm having trouble, God, giving you my heart, but God, would you just take it? You know, sometimes in our relationship with God, we just have to say, God, I want you to have my life, but I keep taking it back. Would you take it? Would you cause my heart to be given over to your testimonies? Listen to what he prays in verse 37. He says, Lord, cause my eyes to be turned away from looking at worthless things. What a powerful prayer. Lord, would you turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things? We have in the Air Force two-seater training planes where the training pilot sits on the left and his trainer sits on the right. And when they're training that pilot to fly those jets, the training pilot will just grab the air hose. There's a little nozzle that comes off the mask. And when he needs his training pilot to look in a certain direction, the trainer just grabs that and turns his face to look where he needs to be looking. Look up, look down, look at that dial. This is what we need to God to do in our hearts. God, would you turn away my eyes from looking at the worthless things in this world? Would you keep me focused on you? Would you cause my eyes to be turned away from looking at worthless things? Listen to what he prays for in Psalm and verse 38. In our English Bibles, it says, establish your word to your servant. But this is the same construction. It's got this hay on the front of it. It's literally this. Lord, cause your word to be established to your servant. Establish your word to your servant. I think if we were to bring a modern idea into this, it would be the idea of, Lord, would you cause your word to be installed in my heart? You know what David's asking for here? He's saying, Lord, would you cause your word to be my operating system? Can I ask you a question tonight? Is the word of God your operating system? That's what he's asking for. He says, God, would you cause your word to be established, installed in my heart? And then he says in verse 39, Lord, cause my reproach to be turned away, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Then he finishes, verse 40 is different than all of the rest. It doesn't have a verb with the hay put on the front of it. He just simply says this, behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. When we come to the hay section of Psalm 119, what we're learning from just a brief consideration of this Hebrew grammar is that when David could pray for a whole set of things, what does he pray for? My friends, this list of eight verses is a Holy Spirit-inspired list of a priority for prayer. And what David is pleading for here is for the Word of God to be what is forward and central in his heart and mind. In fact, that really is the theme of Psalm 119 in total. When you study Psalm 119, all 176 verses, you come to the conclusion that the central theme, the central proposition of Psalm 119 is this, that all that God's Word is must be the heart of all that I am. And of all the things that David could have prayed for in this hey section of Psalm 119, he prayed for all that God's Word is to be the center of all that he is. As we conclude our time together this evening, I just want to leave you with the challenge. What do you pray for? One of the things that I've loved so much this last year through the life of International Baptist College and Seminary is that on Wednesdays we gather in chapel and we pray the Scriptures. And as we pray the Scriptures, we're having our hearts and minds centered on the things that God would have us pray for. And so I am challenged personally, and I'll leave you with this challenge tonight. When you could pray for anything, what do you pray for? And David here, in this section of Psalm 119, by the inspiration of the Spirit, is directing us to pray that all that God's Word is would be at the center of all that we are. Would you join me in a closing word of prayer?